Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Every man and woman on planet Earth worships something or someone. Who or what do you worship? What do you love and adore? Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to rediscover a biblical perspective on true worship. Stay with us. One of the truest proofs that there is a God and that He is interested in us is that He created us with a longing, a desire, an emptiness that only He can fill, a desire to worship and to love our Creator. So often we get confused on worship, and so much that we call worship today is really man-centered and self-centered. So what is worship really all about? Well, we're going to find out next with Paul Chappell. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This daily program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California every Monday through Friday and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. It's our joy to open God's Word with you today. Before we do so, I want to invite you to visit us at strivingtogether.com and dailyintheword.org. Strivingtogether.com is our publication's website where you'll find books and resources for spiritual growth. Dailyintheword.org is the program website. If you'd like to listen to today's message again, if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast or to the complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chappell each and every day, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to study Thanksgiving, and by the way, we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your friends and family, and that you truly do worship thankfully this Thanksgiving season. Here's Paul Chappell.
Little fellow wants a new game for his television game, and he wants this particular game, and boy, he's just so expectant, and he shows his mom the magazine articles, and he shows his mom the television commercial, and he says, "Mom, here's the game, whatever it's called, Game Boy, Xbox, I don't understand all of it, but he wants this particular one." Christmas morning comes, it's time to open the big present. He opens the big present and it's Tinker Toys. And he's not thankful for the Tinker Toys because he was expecting something else. Let me tell you what, the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. Why did they do that? Why don't I get to do that? Folks, why do we set ourselves up for it in the first place? You see, sometimes we're not thankful because we have a discontented spirit. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Having food and raiment therewith, let us be content. And sometimes we're not thankful because we're just flat out too busy to stop and give thanks. That's why I'm glad that I live in the United States of America, where our founding fathers and leaders throughout the years have had enough sense to know, you know what, we better stop and just thank the God who created us. And I know there are many who are pushing that concept outside of the square of our public discussion, but I'm thankful for the Christian heritage in America, and one evidence of our Christian heritage is that we would have a holiday to give thanks. Hey folks, atheists don't give thanks, Christians do. This is a Christian nation. Be thankful for it. Now then, we praise God with song, we praise God with thanksgiving, we praise God with doctrine. I want you to notice this in verse 3. It says, "For the Lord is a great God." I'm reminded of the words of Thomas after his doubting was put to bed, so to speak, by the Lord Jesus. And he looked at Jesus and he said, "My Lord and my God." By the way, Jesus did not say, "Don't call me God." Jesus received this, you see. We understand the Mohammedans deny that Jesus Christ is God. We understand the Mormons deny that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. We understand that many false religions deny the deity of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. If you don't have the right doctrine, you're not worshiping. And the glue that holds us together as a body is our doctrine or our set of beliefs. And around here, we believe that God did have a son and his name is Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfectly sinless life, and on that 33 and a half years of ministry, at the end of that ministry, he went to the old rugged cross, and there on that cross, he shed his blood for the sins of the entire world. On the third day after his crucifixion, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Let me tell you something. That's the doctrine that brings us together. That's why we give thanks today, because we have a wonderful Savior. Someone said the pilgrims made seven times more graves than they did houses. Seven times more graves than houses, but they still gave thanks. You know why? Because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trials come and trials go, but there's always something for which to give thanks. And I want to tell you something. We have a great Savior. And the Bible says in Romans 14 and verse 11, as the Lord saith, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And so this morning we see the witness of the people. God says, come. Come on, let's get together. Let's sing about it. Let's praise the Lord. Let's give thanks. Come on now, let's witness for the Lord. Hey, let me tell you something. When you're at work at Northrop or Boeing or over at the hospital or out at a construction job, do you know it's all right to go ahead at lunchtime and bow your head and pray for your meal? Now, maybe you'll pray silently. Maybe you'll say to your friend there, you don't mind if I pray, do you? Some of them will, some of them won't. It is not against the law to give thanks for your meal. I was at a luncheon some time back with a bunch of businessmen from here in town, and there was a pastor seated next to me, and the pastor from here in town who looked at me and said, well, I'm under grace, and I've already prayed this morning that God would bless the day, so I guess we don't need to pray for the food. Let's just go ahead and eat. My soul, here we are with unsaved people all around us. I said, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and give thanks. Hey, folks, let's not be ashamed of our Savior. Let's not be ashamed to recognize that without Him, we wouldn't have that food to eat. You see? The fact of the matter is God wants us to talk it up. God wants us to lift Him up. And I'm not talking about getting on a soapbox and trying to be goofy about it. I'm just saying, don't act like you're not a Christian. Don't act like there's not someone to thank. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you're a Christian this week. You might be with some unsaved relatives this week, and maybe you could ask Uncle Zeke if he'd let you give thanks for the meal. And go ahead and just thank God for His provision. The witness of God's people. He says, come on now, let's get together and let's lift up my name. Notice secondly, the worship of God's people. This is what we're talking about today. Worship. How do we worship Him? Very quickly, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Would you read that verse with me now? Verse 6, ready to begin. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us before the Lord our Maker. Now here we see that God wants our worship. And we're going to learn this morning that worship is both subjective and objective. That is, we worship God with our attitude as well as with our actions. So notice if you would, first of all, we worship God in our attitude. The attitude is expressed in verse 6 with the words, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. What is it when we kneel? Last night we had men's prayer in this room with 60 or 70 men, and we shared prayer requests, and then we kneeled down in prayer. Why does the Bible speak at times about kneeling? Why did the Lord Jesus kneel in the Garden of Gethsemane? What is this? It is a picture of the heart attitude. Here the Bible says, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Now, in worshiping the Lord from the heart, why is it that we can come to the Lord humbly and worship Him in this way? Let me give you a few quick reasons. First of all, because we are secure in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are secure in Him, and we thank Him. The Bible says in verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. How many of you are glad you're standing on the rock this morning? The songwriter said, on Christ the solid rock I stand. If you are not saved this morning, that is, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you do not know today that your sins have been forgiven, then you are not standing on the rock. You are on the shifting sands of this world's philosophy. But when someone receives Christ as their Savior, now they have put their faith in Christ the rock of our salvation. It's in your notes there, 1 Corinthians 10:4. For they drank of that spiritual rock that did follow them, and that rock was Christ. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I'm glad today that I'm not trusting in a church or a denomination to forgive my sin, but I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I hope you put your faith in Christ today. I hope you're not here trying to get to heaven with your good works. I'm glad to let you know today that we are saved by grace and by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm glad to let you know today that you can come before the Lord and you can bow your knee to Him because He has secured your salvation. But notice we're not only secure in a Savior. The Bible says here that we have a trust in our King. We're secure in our Savior. We're trusting in our King. Verse 3 says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. I'm glad this morning to let you know that the kingdoms of this world will all become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes we hear about kingdoms rising against kingdoms, and we hear about the United Nations, and they're concerned about global warming, and they're concerned about all of the war and all of the problems in the world. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm glad to know that this world is going to end exactly when Jesus Christ wants it to end. And when He decides to come on back and call His children home and establish His righteousness after the great tribulation, when the Lord Jesus decides to do that, He is going to do that on His timing. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In other words, right on God's timetable, Jesus Christ came. And right on God's timetable, Jesus Christ will come again. He is our returning King. Not only is He our Savior and our King, but I see in this passage that we can stand in awe of our Creator. We worship Him with this humble attitude because He is King, because He is Savior, and because He is our Creator. Notice what it says in verse 4. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. I don't know about you, but when I get around the Rocky Mountains or maybe go out to the Pacific Ocean, and I just ponder what God has created, it causes me to have a heart filled with worship and thanksgiving to Him. And if there's a time in your life when you ought to be able to humble yourself before the Lord, it's when you consider all of His attributes. He is the Savior. He is the King. He is the Creator. Hey, I think it's about time to kneel down before Him, don't you? Why? Because of all that He is. Now notice, we worship Him in our attitude. We kneel before Him. Secondly, we worship Him in our actions. You see, we said a moment ago, it's subjective and it's objective. Now, a lot of people are emotionally based. They get a good feeling about worship, but it never translates into their life. God says, I want you to let your worship translate into an evidence, into an offering that is evident. And several ways we've seen we can worship the Lord. In song, verse 2, we make a joyful noise under the rock of our salvation. In our service, Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I watched the choir as they serve the Lord this morning. I watched the ushers, and we see all around us God's people. All of these things are done as unto the Lord, and all of these are an act of worship to the Lord. Hebrews says they are a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. And whatever we do as believer priests should be done as an offering to the Lord. Not only our singing and our serving, but also our stewardship. Look in your notes there, Psalm 116, verse 12. I love this verse. The psalmist says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" Isn't that a great question? Hey, fellas, listen here. When was the last time you just stopped and said, "Whoa, God has been so good to me. What can I do for him?" Now, that's not the average thought of the average guy these days. But the psalmist said, "God's been so good to give me so many benefits. What can I do for him?" He says, "I will take the cup of salvation and I'll call upon the name of the Lord." Verse 14, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." He said, "God's been so good to me, I'm going to bring to God an offering of stewardship." And so we see in our passage this morning, the witness of God's people. God says, "Hey, let's get together and sing these praises." The worship of God's people is from the heart and it is seen in the life. And then notice finally this morning, the warning to God's people. Now, in the middle of this beautiful psalm of thanksgiving, there's a warning. And I want you to capture this before we're dismissed today. Notice in verse number 8. "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of the temptation." Notice God's warning. God is warning us this morning against a loss of faith. I don't understand this phenomenon. But there are many Americans today, like those in the group that Moses led out of Egypt. They were to be grateful. They were to be faithful. They were to follow God's plan into the promised land. But instead, they began to bicker and they began to complain and they began to bellyache. And because of their hard hearts, an entire generation of people did not enter into the promised land. Sometimes Christians can get this way. You see, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. What matters is, how's your heart today? And God says, here's a warning for you. If you want to continue to worship me, harden not your heart. Notice Hebrews 3:13. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Many a Christian has started off tenderly, lovingly serving the Lord, but then they get a little bit of bitterness. Someone does them wrong. Someone did something or said something. And after a while, their heart can be affected. And after a while, their desire to worship diminishes. After a while, they see things not with a pure heart, but just everything's in a cynical fashion. And God says, "I have a warning for you. Don't let your heart get like that. Harden not your heart," you see. Oh, today we have a warning, and I believe it's so very important that we would hear it. President Lincoln, in his Thanksgiving proclamation in 1863, said, "If we have vainly imagined that in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own," he said, "hey, let's not get to thinking that we are self-made people, that we are a self-made nation." He said, "Let's not think it's all about us." In other words, let's not get a hard heart here. Let's keep a soft heart towards Almighty God. In fact, verse number 10 says, 40 long years was I grieved with this generation and said, "It is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways." God says, "I have a warning against a loss of faith. I have, secondly, a warning against a loss of gratitude." He says, "Don't lose that gratitude attitude." How many of you have ever heard the term "the greatest generation"? Let me see your hands. The greatest generation, referring to really the World War II era. The men and women, many are here right now, a part of that. 50 years ago, the key word in America was duty. The greatest generation emphasized their duty to God and country. And when it was time to go and fight, they went. And many of the wives stayed at home and they worked in armory factories and they sacrificed in various ways. The greatest generation had that watchword of duty to God and country. The watchword today is the word rights. Give me my rights. I want my rights. You can talk to my attorney. That's the attitude today. And as we have seen America turning away from God, we have seen the emphasis on self and we have seen gratitude going out the window. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. What's the next word say? Unthankful. And we see it today. I'm saying to you this morning, there's always something to be grateful for. One lady recently said, I'm grateful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy, you hate to see them go home to their own parents. She said, I'm thankful for teenagers because through them I have learned a second language. And one husband said, I'm thankful for smoke alarms. They let you know when the turkey's done. Now, I hope you've got more to be thankful for than that. The fact of the matter is that sometimes people that are so blessed can be so miserable because they harden their heart. Here's the warning, folks. God says, I want you to come together and witness for me. I want you to come together and worship me. But he says, I'm going to warn you, don't let your heart get hard. Folks, I've been here 21 and a half years. I thank God for a bunch of Christians who just work at forgiving and loving and praying and keeping a tender heart. May we hear the warning, don't have a hard heart. And may I close with this today. As you give thanks this week, there is one gift that ought to be right at the top of your list of thanksgiving. And Brother John mentioned it a moment ago, 2 Corinthians 9:15. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Would you say that with me? But thanks be unto God. And what is that gift? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I heard the usher say he's thankful for salvation. I heard the pastor say he's standing on the rock, Jesus Christ. But you in your heart do not know that you have ever received the gift of salvation. If you're in this room today and you are not sure that Christ is your Savior, you are not sure that heaven would be your home for all of eternity, I've got very good news for you this morning. God loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here today and you're not sure you even know what it means to be saved, then I want you to know this morning that you can receive Christ as your Savior today. You can walk out of this church house having something to be thankful for all of eternity. Because my friend, a new car is going to get dented and rusted. And a new house could get flooded or cracked with an earthquake. And a job could come and a job could go. But Jesus never fails. And God says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let us pray. Father, thank You for this time to come together and learn about how to worship You. I pray that You would speak to every heart this morning and draw us closer to You through this message.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, and today we've been studying worship. You can hear any of the messages in this series or recent programs when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and today's broadcast has prompted you to consider that decision, we would invite you right now, in the privacy of your own heart, to make a simple faith decision to believe and receive, to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior once and for all. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you could bow your head and heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you more about that and help you understand what it means to make that wonderful decision. I hope you'll call us. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Don't forget, we invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Online, you can see recent broadcasts and listen to the broadcast. You can also find out more about subscribing to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge to your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, or some other device, and take it with you and listen to it at your leisure on your own time. You can also refer this program to a friend. Perhaps you know somebody that lives in an area where this program is not aired. Anybody can go to dailyintheword.org and subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find lots of other links there about Dr. Chaplin and his ministry. The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional can come every day free of charge to your email inbox and remind you to walk with God and get through His Word in a year. You'll find links to the online bookstore and Pastor Chapel's newest book entitled Stewarding Life. This beautiful hardback book will help you understand how to take the one lifetime that you've been given with limited resources and adjust them and live them out according to eternal priorities. Once again, the new book, Stewarding Life by Dr. Paul Chapel. You'll find all of this and more at dailyintheword.org. Also, if we can help you, please call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.